Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can once again open up to Hebrews 11. That'll be the last time you hear me say that for a while as we're kind of wrapping up this series. There's definitely so much more we could do in this series, and maybe we'll jump into it again later, but as we head into the fall, we're kind of getting ready to head in a different direction. So this will be our last part of our series. And today we're actually kind of continuing really a series within the series, all right? Earlier this summer, we started the series called Faith Is, ... And each week, we've been looking at what that ... is. What is faith? Because I've mentioned each week, there are just so many aspects to this thing called faith, right? So many ways we can approach it, so many ways we can live out our faith. And so each week, we've been looking at these great men and women of faith in the Bible that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, right? Known as the Hall of Faith sometimes. We've heard of the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. Well, last week, as we were continuing that series, we started Moses part 1. And so this week, we're gonna pick up where we left off as we look at Moses part 2, all right? That's a pretty ingenious series, isn't it, there? Well, Moses part 1 and Moses part 2, yeah. Took me a lot of time to work on that one, so. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can get ready to read along with me here as we're going to look at Hebrews 11, 24 through 28 this morning. This is what it says to us. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose, hear that word, to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was visible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel." Last week I told you that as I read through these scriptures, I felt like there were four things that the Lord brought off the page to me in regards to faith, in regards to Moses and his faith. And so I realized as I did that wow, this was way too much to fit into one message. And so last week we started Moses part 1 and we talked about the first two. And if you weren't here last week, or in case you weren't listening last week, which I know that some of that may happen. That's me sometimes myself. My wife's saying all sorts of things and I didn't hear any of what she said, right? But just in case, whatever it was, let me recap just for you as we kind of head into the last two. We read in verses 24 and 25, I'll just say it again. It said, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin in a short time. And last week, we talked about the fact, our first point was that faith is choosing God over the pleasures of this world. We pointed out the fact that Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. You know, he told the story where he was supposed to die and they were supposed to drown the babies and Moses' mom put Moses in a little basket and Pharaoh's daughter found him, so she had mercy on him. So he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter and he could have lived this life of luxury in the palace. He could have lived the rest of his life just in luxury. But instead of living a life of luxury as an Egyptian, he chose to identify with the people of God. He chose to say yes to Jesus instead of to the pleasures of the sinful world. And this is the same choice that God desires from us. And then the second thing that we looked at, it was in verse 26 where it says, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And we talked about the fact that faith is realizing this is not our home. This is not our home. We're here temporary. And I pointed out how long the journey was for Moses, even after he chose, right? After he chose God over the things of this world, his journey was 80 years. That's longer than I think anybody in this room has lived so far, I think, all right? If I'm wrong, then you look really good for your age, okay? All right? But 80 years, but through it all, through all this time, here's the thing about Moses we talked about. He never lost focus of the end goal. He never lost focus of the promised land. You see, we have to remember there's so much more to this life, and God wants us to keep our eyes focused on Him and the eternal life He has for each of us when we choose to follow Him. And so those were the two aspects of faith that we talked about last week. And this week I want to continue where we left off and look at the third thing that we can learn about faith from Moses. Verse 27 there that I read says this: by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And I think the third thing that we can learn from Moses about faith is this: faith is persevering through the difficult times. Persevering through the difficult times. I think one of the keys to success in our journey of following Jesus, in this journey of walking with Christ, the key to success is endurance. It's perseverance. You know, spiritual success is found in the ability to persevere, because we live in a challenging, difficult world. And guess what? God didn't put us in this world. He didn't call us to be quitters. He didn't. Through God's Word, all throughout God's Word, we're told to endure. We're told to persevere, to push through, regardless of what the world brings against us. And that's a difficult thing, because a lot of times the world brings a lot of difficult things against us. Now, sometimes it's stuff we bring on ourselves, but other times it's not. We saw that Moses brought some stuff on himself. But then there were other times where the Israelites messing up, and he had to pay as well for their mistakes. God's desire is that we push through and endure regardless of what the world brings against us. You see, when we look back at these heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11, we see that one thing they weren't quitters. None of them quit. Now, they may have made mistakes, which some of them made a lot of mistakes, right? They may have made mistakes. They may have messed up. They may have felt like quitting at times. And maybe at sometimes they actually did kind of quit in a little bit, partially. But in the end, they persevered. In the end, they endured. Verse 27 tells us that this was true about Moses. He persevered. He pushed through. He was faithful to endure. I want to go back this morning to the story of Moses and take a look at his life and see how he fought through great diversity. Because you see, the interesting thing, when you go back to Moses, to the beginning, when this journey began, when he chose to follow God instead of live the life of the Egyptian. When you go back, you see, Moses may have looked more like a quitter from the beginning than he did like someone who persevered. The early life of Moses was characterized by running away from things. That's what the early Moses did. He ran away. And most of the things that he ran from are often the same things that we run from. Right? You know, one of the first things we see Moses run from is he runs from his past. You know, last week we talked about Moses' decision to stand up to the Hebrew slave. Right? He was born a Hebrew, but he got saved by Pharaoh's daughter. He's living as an Egyptian and watching these Hebrew slaves get tortured and beat. And he decided he was going to stand up for the Hebrew slave, and in doing so, what did he do? He ended up, out of his anger, killing the Egyptian master. So he made a mistake. And what did he do? He ran from his mistake, right? He began to run away from his past, to run away from things. The reality is, we do this too. As a pastor, I see this all the time. I see people walk through those doors all the time. And many times I find out later as they come in here and as I begin to learn their story, I find out that they're running away from something. They're running away from their past. They're running away from problems, other places, you know. They're running away from other churches. That happens sometimes. And let me just throw this in here. If you're here and you're running away from another church or a situation that happened there, here's what I believe. You're not going to prosper here until you deal with what happened there. And I think that's the same with anything. If we don't deal with our past, we're not going to be able to prosper in the way that God wants us to. We have to deal with those things and take care of them. Are we running from our past? Are we running from situations and difficulties and challenges? Or maybe it's something else that we're running from. Maybe we're running from God. Because Moses was running from the past, but I think he was also running from God too. He knew that God wanted to use him to help free the Hebrew slaves. That's why he acted out. That's why he did what he did. He knew he was a Hebrew born. And here he is watching this. He knew God's desire was to use him to help free the slaves of Israel. And that's why he acted out. He was tired of seeing people being treated the way that they were being treated. But Moses then realized that his anger got the best of him, and he ended up going too far. We do that a lot, right? We go beyond what God wants us to do. We go too far. And so now we see him running from God. His life was meant for greatness, but now he's running away. And he's hiding in the desert, tending sheep. If you don't know the story, he goes out to the Midian desert and he's out there tending sheep for 40 years. He's out hiding, running in the desert. How many of us are doing the same thing? How many of us are running from God? Maybe it's out of shame. Maybe it's because of our failures. I can't face God. If he knew the things I did, let me tell you, he knows the things you did. Moses is out there hiding. God knows right where he's at. He knew the mistakes that he made. Maybe it's out of shame. Maybe it's because of our failures. Or maybe it's because we don't think we're capable of doing what God wants us to do. Maybe we're afraid. I think that's part of the reason that Moses was on the run. You see, he tried and he failed. He thought, yeah, God wants to use me. I'm going to take charge right now. But he failed. And so then he believed through his failure, I messed up, I can't do it anymore. And so he took off. But here's the thing I love in this story. And I think one of the things we have to hear, because I think it's a piece in the puzzle for us to be able to persevere. Even though we run, even though Moses ran, even though Moses quit, even though we quit, God never quits on us. God didn't give up on Moses. Moses may have given up on himself in that moment, but God never gave up on him. God shows up to Moses in the desert. He knew where he was. It didn't take God 40 years to find Moses. He knew where he was. And in God's timing, he shows up to Moses in the desert. It's in the form of the burning bush. You may be familiar with that story. The burning bush that doesn't burn. It's on fire, but it doesn't burn, right? And he begins to tell Moses, I who began a good work in you am faithful to complete it. The same thing holds true for us. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. I experienced this in my own life. I was called at a young age to be a youth pastor. And many of you have heard my story. I went off to the Marine Corps, was doing great, and all of a sudden I started compromising, and I fell hard in my relationship with the Lord. And I did a lot of stupid things that I don't want to even talk about. I messed up big time. And I remember thinking, man, I blew it. I messed up. I've ruined everything. God can't use me to be a youth pastor anymore. Look at what I've done. I was the one quitting. God didn't quit on me. He said, no, Darren, I have a plan for you. If you just come back and persevere through the difficulties, through the hard times, I'm going to use you in ways that you never imagined. And this is one of those ways I never imagined, pastoring a church in Dallas. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And this man who had been running from his past and who had been running from God finally decides to stand up and to begin to persevere, to begin to endure and to push through. His days of quitting were over. But let me say this. Did it all of a sudden get easier for Moses? No. He just stood up and decided that he was going to push through and persevere. You see, when he went to go do what God told him to do, Pharaoh refused to listen. But Moses continued to persevere. And he persevered and persevered with Pharaoh. And then when they finally were free, then it's the Israelites he's dealing with. And they continue to rebel and cause problems for Moses. But what did Moses do? He continued to persevere. He continued to endure. And I'm sure through these times, Moses got tired. Moses was probably worn out in the desert. Sick and tired of the grumbling and complaining of the Israelites. And I'm sure there were times he felt like quitting and giving up. I'm just going to go back to tending sheep. They're a lot easier to deal with, right? They just follow me and do what I say. The Israelites, they're doing their own thing. I'm sure there were times he felt like quitting, but he didn't. We see he continued to persevere. Let me read you a little story I found on the internet on perseverance. It's a great story, and I don't know why. When I read it last night, I started to bawl, so I hope I don't bawl as I read this. Beth Ann Desiantis was attempting to qualify for the 1992 Olympic Trials Marathon. A female runner must complete the 27-mile, 385-yard race in less than 2 hours and 45 minutes to compete at the Olympic Trials. Beth started strong, but began having trouble around mile 23. She reached the final straightaway at 2 minutes and 43 seconds. With just 2 minutes left to qualify, 200 yards from the finish, she stumbled and fell. Dazed, she stayed down for 20 seconds. The clock was ticking, 2 minutes and 44 seconds. Less than a minute to go, Beth Ann staggered to her feet and began walking. 5 yards short of the finish, with 10 seconds to go, she fell again. She began to crawl, the crowd cheering her on. She crossed the finish line on her hands and knees. Her time, 2 hours, 44 minutes, 57 seconds. She did it. She pushed through. What a great picture of persevering. What a great picture of not quitting. And the key here is she kept her eyes focused on the finish line. She kept her eyes on the goal of what she was going for. And I think what we talked about last week, and I mentioned here earlier, our key to persevering through the difficult times is we have to remember that this is not our home. We have to stay focused on the finish line, that God has more to this life, more to our lives than this and what we live on this earth. You see, Moses never lost. He never lost focus of the goal. He never lost focus of the promised land. That's what he was called to do. That's what he kept his eyes upon. And that's why he was able to stay faithful and to persevere through the difficult times. That's what faith is. If we want to be people of faith, we have to persevere through the difficult times, even when we feel like quitting, even when we feel like nobody's on our side. We have to push through and persevere. That's God's desire for each of us. And we can learn from Moses. We can learn from his faith that we need to do the same. Well, the fourth thing that we can learn about faith from Moses is this. Verse 28 says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. The fourth thing that we can learn about faith from Moses is this. Faith is understanding the power of the blood. Let me say that again. That's a strong statement. Faith is understanding the power of the blood. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with this story, when Moses went to Pharaoh and told him, "Let God's people go," what did Pharaoh say? "Oh, sure, go ahead." No. Pharaoh said, "No. Why should I let your people go? Who's going to do our work for us if I let your people go?" And so God began to send plagues upon the people of Egypt, right? There were a total of 10 plagues that were sent. First, there was the plague where they turned water into blood, right? Then the next plague that was sent was the plague of frogs, just infested with frogs everywhere. Can you imagine? All right, now my son would probably think that was the coolest thing in the world. Then there was the gnats. Okay, now I don't know about you, I've been around that. I mean, that stuff. When I was in the Philippines, we had mosquitoes, they're like gnats, and there were so many of them that you just saw them all over, and they're just touching you, all it's gross. And so can you just imagine this infestation of gnats? And then flies. We all know we don't like flies. And then the death of the livestock. Their livestock died. And then boils. They all began to develop these boils on their skin. And then hail, I mean, huge hail. It just, man, it was so hard not to say something there. Yeah, I won't. I'll be careful. Hail came down. Then locusts. And then darkness, right? These are the first 9 plagues that came in. With each one, if you remember, with each one, after going through it, finally Pharaoh would say, okay, you can go, take your people. And then as the stuff started to go away, and as they're packing up, what did Pharaoh say? Then he'd change his mind, right? Oh, no, never mind. So the next one, and it was just this continuous thing. He kept saying, never mind. But the 10th and final plague was the straw that kind of broke the camel's back for Pharaoh. The Lord sent the plague of the firstborn. And at midnight, the death angel would pass over the land of the Egyptians and over the Israelites. And Moses was warned and told that death would come to the firstborn of any household that didn't have the blood of a lamb. So you had to kill a lamb, take its blood, and sprinkle blood on the two sides and the top of the doorpost. And any house that didn't have this, when the death angel came through, the firstborn would be killed. And so Pharaoh lost his son, and finally he said they could go. Now when you think about this, when you think about, number one, what's a death angel? What? I've never heard of that before. What does that even mean, right? And then to say, well, how can just taking some blood from a lamb and putting it on my door, how can that save us from death? But you see, Moses believed what God told him. And he told his people, and those who believed and obeyed, they were spared. They were spared from this curse of death. And the thing is, this is the same imagery that we see in our Christian faith. Jesus is called our Passover, all right? The death angel would pass over. That's why it's called Passover. Jesus is called our Passover Lamb. You see, His life was given. He died on a cross. His blood was spilled so that we could be spared the curse of not just physical death, but the curse of spiritual death. That's what it was about, that we would be spared this curse of spiritual death. In the same way that the blood of a lamb saved the Israelites, the blood of the Lamb saves us. But you see, this is the challenging part. It takes great faith to accept this and to understand the power of the blood. To understand the power of God's blood in our lives. You see, so often we get this mentality that we think that, if we're good, if we're nice, if we do the right things, that we're going to be okay. We can't earn our salvation. We can't work our way into heaven. Our salvation comes one way and one way only. It's through the blood of the Lamb. It's through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. You see, faith is understanding the power of the blood. Because it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter the mistakes I've made. I made a lot of mistakes in the Marine Corps. And guess what? The power of the blood has washed those away. It doesn't matter the mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter the things. You know, Moses, oh, do you realize, I mean, when you look at the men of faith in the Bible, Hebrews 11, I think I read something. I swear I read something on this. How many of the great men of faith were either murderers, adulterers, or both? Many of them were both. I mean, these guys, they messed up. They had some past in their life. But the blood of the Lamb covers those things. It doesn't matter the mistakes we've done. It doesn't matter our past. What matters is have we put the blood on our doorposts? Have we received the power of the blood in our life? Have we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior so that we can experience spiritual life instead of spiritual death? That's what it's about. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it's through the power of the blood that we're able to persevere, Lord Jesus. That it's the power of the blood that gives us the strength to push through in those difficult times, Lord. And it's because it's not us pushing through, Lord. We are weak. But in you we are strong, Lord. In you we have the strength and the ability, Lord, to push through the difficulties of this world, the challenges that we face in this life, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to walk in faith. Help us to walk in a faith that perseveres through the difficult times, to walk in a faith that understands the power of your blood, Lord. Because, Lord, we're no different than Moses. We're people who have messed up, who have made mistakes, and who are just seeking to live the life that you've called us to live. Whatever it is, whatever that looks like, Lord, help us to stop running from things. Help us to stop running from our past, to stop running from you, whether it's because of our failures or because we're afraid. We don't have the ability and power to do it because we can do all things through you who gives us strength, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for that, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live in your power, to live in your strength in all that we do. As we go from this place today, Lord, we're all in different places. We're facing different things. Some of us are in difficult times. Some of us are in those struggles where maybe we feel like quitting. Some of us, things may be going great. But the reality is we never know when that time may come, when difficulties will come against us, Lord. And we pray that you just help us, regardless of where we're at, to rely upon your strength, to realize, as we sang earlier, we need you in everything. Every day, everywhere, every minute, every second, we need you. We need the power of your blood. We need your Spirit to be alive in us that we may be able to push through and persevere in the way that you have called us to, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for these things. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do it on our own, but that you come alongside and help us in it. We thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.